Well, the word's good.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of, let's just start in Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't, we have it up on the screen for you. I was at lunch yesterday with new Melissa, old Melissa, and my mom, and we were standing there waiting at Bob Evans. And Jim, here, I'm throwing you a bone right now, Jim. Right here, I'm going to throw you a bone. And I said, as we were standing there waiting, I said, we're not going to be setting any height records in this family. That's another thing we have in common. It's uncanny. I'm telling you, we're short. And first thing, Jim came up to me. Of course, Jim is a gentleman right there, smiling and laughing. He's always picking on me because he's jealous that I'm taller than him. So he's always saying that the other way around. But he came right up to me and said, just want to let you know, Pastor, your sister's taller than you. Oh, well. Are you ready for your lives to be changed?
Amen.
Now, I remember being in services years ago, just hearing one thing. It's like, wow, changed the whole course of my life. That's what God's Word has the power to do. He wants to take every area of your life and make it so good and bless you so much. He loves you so much. He wants to take your finances and make them better. He wants to take your body and make it better. He wants to take your mind, your marriage, your children, your relationships. Every area of your life, God wants to be a part of. I say it this way. It kind of sounds intense, but it's true. He wants to invade your life and be a blessing. Amen? So let's see where our help is today. Let's go ahead and let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful for the opportunity to be here. Lord, as I open my mouth, I thank you, you're going to fill it. Father, I don't say this to be demeaning or to be funny. My heart is sincere when I say it. Mike Anderson himself doesn't have much to give. Lord, I saw and experienced what my life was like without you. Lord, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't have an education. Father, I didn't have very many natural gifts and talents growing up that are really worth anything today. But Lord, the one thing that I will do is I'll give my life to you and I'll be a willing vessel. And so Father, I know that's what you're looking for. So, Father, I thank you when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. And, Lord, I'm going to say things this morning that are going to strike chords in every person's heart. Specific things about their life, Lord, that you want them to hear. And, Father, you're only saying these things to bring them up higher and to be a blessing in their life. So, Father, we thank you beforehand for the change that's about to take place. And, Lord, we look to you. I'm just a branch, but you're the vine. Apart from you, I can do nothing. So, Lord, thank you for help this morning. Thank you for boldness and for utterance. Thank you for lives being changed. This is a destiny-overturning service here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, you know, we preached about Jesus on the Christmas service. But you know how I work around here? I don't have canned messages or sermons that I just, decide to just do. We pray and seek God about that, you know. But I will say this. What the Lord had me share last week, if I ever was going to have a canned Christmas message, it would be what we preached about last week. Because what we talked about last week was unwrapping the gift that is Jesus. Of course, the Christmas season, you know, there's the giving and the receiving of gifts, and God's no different. God gave us Jesus. Thank God for it. And we saw that he was a gift to mankind. He was a gift to humanity. And we saw that the Bible says that God is only a good gift giver. That the Word says that God is a God that does not change. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning in Him. That the Bible says that good and perfect things come from above. He's only a good gift giver, amen? So Him giving Jesus, and Jesus coming in a manger, which what we celebrate on Christmas, it was a gift, but what we know about God, it had to be something good and perfect, amen? And so we said, well, we need to unwrap this gift that is Jesus. And He's only good and only perfect. You know, I remember... when you unwrap Jesus and find out who he is, you want to partake of him. You want to go his way. You know, I remember talking years ago to a lady, and she said, I want nothing to do with that Jesus business. Don't talk to me about him. And I thought to myself, that Jesus business, what do you mean you don't want anything to do with unconditional love? Everybody wants that. What do you mean you don't want help with your finances? Everybody wants that. What do you mean you don't want supernatural healing for your body? Everybody would want that. What do you mean you don't want kindness and forgiveness and mercy and compassion? Well, I dug a little bit deeper and found it wasn't Jesus that she didn't want. She didn't want some of his kids, some of the Father's kids, right? What I mean by that is there were Christians that were acting certain ways in her life, you know, judgmental, condemning her, making her feel bad, making her feel worthless. And it made her stay away from God. But that's not who He is. God is good, amen? And the gifts that He gives is good. And the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God is not out partnering with the thief. The devil is in this world. The Bible says he steals, kills, and destroys. So we know God's good. So that gift that He gave us, with Him being good and a good gift giver, must be something we can benefit from, right? Because we talked about being a bad gift giver. What's a bad gift giver? When you give someone something that really doesn't mean anything to them, they can't really use, that doesn't bless them, doesn't bring them joy. Maybe it was just out of obligation or just something to do. That's not the way God is. God's a perfect gift giver. What He gives us is exactly what we need, exactly what we want, exactly what we're going to make us the most happy, and exactly what's going to make us the most joyful. And we saw that Jesus, to unwrap Him, to find out who He is and what he's all about, He's like that multi-tool. You know, have you heard of Leatherman or Gerber? They have those multi-tools that, you know, you pull them out and it looks like it's just a pair of pliers. And you see it there, it's like, and it looks whatever, you know, a little pair of pliers. And you think, okay, that's all that there is. That's what you see. That's what stands out. But on the side of that, on each of them, there's more that opens up. There's two different screwdrivers, a flat head and a Phillips head. There's on some of them, there's a file there. There's knives. There's saws in some of them. There's bottle openers. There's different things in these things that's not just pliers. Well, most people out in front, when they think of Jesus, they think of Him dying on the cross. And they think of Him giving people the opportunity to go to heaven and receive Him. And thank God, that is the best, right? That is the most visible and that is the most seen. But we saw in the Word that the Bible says that God's promises, plural. And y'all know I'm not very educated, but I do know when they put an S on the end of a word, it means it's plural. That means there's more than one. It didn't say that God's promise is yes and amen. It says that the promises of God are yes and amen. God has more than one promise for us. Thank God for the cross, and we're thankful that we get to go to heaven, and it's a free gift. It's so easy to receive Jesus. So many people think, I got to do a bunch of cartwheels and religious cartwheels and jump through religious hoops to get God to love me. No, you don't. The criminal that was on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, there were three people. Him and two criminals on either side of Him. One criminal made fun of Him and the other criminal said, I believe who you are. And Jesus didn't look at him and say, I'm sorry, you're not a churchgoer. I'm sorry, you didn't do enough good things in your life. I'm sorry, you're being sentenced to die. No, Jesus said, you believe in me? You'll be with me then. That's what He said. God said in John 3:16, for whose God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe, didn't say whosoever would be perfect, didn't say whosoever would have perfect church attendance, said whosoever would just believe in Him would not perish. It's so easy to receive the Father. If you believe and receive Jesus, you're His child. You're going to heaven. Praise God. And thank God for it. It's the most important thing. It far outweighs healing. Eternal life far outweighs prosperity. It far outweighs even peace of mind and soundness of mind. But thank God, He said, my promises are yes and amen. Amen? Now, I told you at the end of the service, because I know what people thought. And people think this all the time when I talk to people. They think to themselves, well, Pastor Mike, if God offered me all these things and offered me salvation and I'm saved, I'm His child, and He's offered me healing and He's offered me prosperity and He's offered me freedom from all these things that are tormenting me, why aren't I experiencing it? Why aren't I blessed? Why aren't I walking in biblical prosperity? Why isn't my body healed? Why is my mind still tormented? Well, we saw that Jesus was offered to us. But then we have something to do on our end to access those things. I had the pleasure this week. It was so awesome, this connection that God had made. I had ordered some stuff from a certain company. And because I don't want to get, possibly if that person, I don't know if this person would get in trouble for not, you know, if they're listening because I gave them the website and things like that. But I ordered from a company. And I have really fat feet. I was about to ask her if she does too, but I don't think that's appropriate to ask a woman in front of everybody if you have fat feet, so I'm not going to ask that question. But I have really fat feet, so I'm going to find out later in private if we have that in common. With all the other things, I mean. And so, you know, when I order boots online or things, I'll usually order 3-4 pair because with the intentions of just keeping one of them. But when you're getting them online, you know, you can't try them on, take them, you know, and the company actually prefers that you do that because it's easier than them having to return and send back and return and send back. So I just set it back in one. Well, I got these boots and I love the way they looked, but they didn't fit on my fat feet. No matter what size I got, I couldn't make them work. And so I sent them back and I was having trouble getting my refund. And over 2 weeks went by and I had a label from you, from the post office and everything. And I gave the company the number and they plugged it in. And we're talking good money for these boots for how many that I ordered, you know, and they can't find my label. They can't find my return anywhere. It's lost somewhere. And so I'm thinking, well, that's not good, you know, and try not to get worked up about it, you know, just believing that God's good. And I got to talk to this wonderful woman, you know, and she was so sweet. I found such favor with her. And she said, you know what? She said, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, refund you that on good faith and believe that that box is going to show up sometime. I said, thank you. I'll take that, you know. And she gave me a confirmation number. And then she said, I noticed your email. Well, my email's pastormike@thefamilychurches.org. And she said, are you a pastor? I said, yeah. And it opened the door, and I sat there for 45 minutes and talked to this woman. And she was telling me, she's a Christian. She lives somewhere in the U.S. You don't get, I'm not trying to get her in trouble. She was telling me some things about her family and things that they were experiencing and things that they were going through and heartaches. And it opened the door to what I want to share today and started talking to her. And I gave her links to the website. And you could, she's just on the other end saying, wow, wow, wow. Because she didn't know. A lot of Christians, they believe in Jesus and they're going to heaven and thank God for it, but life is hell on earth. And God never intended for one of his children to live hell on earth. God didn't send you Jesus to live hell on earth. He gave you Jesus to walk into blessings. In let's go to Hebrews 11:3 where I said to go. I want you to see now how, going forward this morning, now I know that you came and there's a sheet of paper in the seat, and we'll explain that later. You know, we normally don't have that there. But it's something the Lord put on my heart to get you started in the right direction going forward. This is a going forward service today. Amen. You want to know why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, 2019 is going to be here and gone before you know it. It's going to happen. Yeah. January is going to happen in that. March is going to happen. September is going to happen in that. And we're going to be back here on the eve of 2020 talking about going forward to the new year. But here we are with this blank canvas of 2019 that the story is yet to be written. And what I've been able to see God do in, I mean, you talk about a year's time. That is an eternity for God to be able to move. We've seen God do instantlies and suddenlies, and people are going one direction, and God turned their life around, and boom, they're going a whole new way. And one minute they're this way, and another minute they're just totally blessed, and things have changed in their life, and things have turned. 2019 is going to come and go, but what do you want it to look like? And I'm here to make a bold statement. How your life turns out from this place this morning has more to do with you than it does God. Now, most churches won't tell you that. And religion won't tell you that. But how your life turns out has more to do with you than it does God. In fact, hold your place there real quick. Kim Lai, would you go to Mark 9 and verse 23? This was the place where I was kind of hemming and hawing of going back to. It seems good to go back there. Mark 9, 23. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. If you can believe it, what's the result of it? All things are possible. Amen. That thing you need changed in your life, that thing you need turned around, that situation, it ain't up to him. Right. It's not. He's already done everything he needs to do. He gave us Jesus, he gave us the Word. Now he says, if you can believe it, I'll do it. So how your life goes forward has more to do with you than it does him. And that's how we access these things, is by faith. And I want to help you with that this morning. So now I'll go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 3 that you held your place in. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Says, through faith. Well, that's what Mark 9:23 was. If you can believe. Well, what's belief? Belief is just faith. So the Bible tells us here in 11 verse 3, it says, through faith. Well, what happened through faith? Because some things happened through faith. The worlds were framed. Well, what's framed? To be built, to be put in order. You know, when you frame up a building, you know, you frame up the different rooms, and if you've ever been on a building project and you see, remember this one, you know, you had the foundation laid down, and then they'd start building wood walls, you know, framing it up. And you start saying, oh, that's where the bathrooms are going to be. Oh, that's where my office is. Oh, that the sanctuary's framed in. Well, the Bible says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or built by the Word of God. Amen. So that things which are seen, that's this, what we can touch in order to hear, were not made of things which appear. What's he saying? When God created The world, he didn't have natural materials to work with. He had nothing to work with except his word, and it was enough. And he framed up the moon and framed up the sun and framed up the oceans and framed up the fields and the hills and the animals and people by his word. Spoke it into existence, praise God. Hallelujah. And we know this with, I'll say this going forward, that the Bible says that we are to imitate God. In fact, Mark 11 verse 22 says that we are to have faith like God has faith. So we do things like God does things. So when seeing how God does things, it's a lesson to how we need to do things. Yeah. But when it comes to building a home, you know, you ever seen those shows on HGTV? I mean, they get some fancy places and where the bathrooms are bigger than most houses, you know, and fancy fixtures and all this special stuff. Those are all well and good. But if that home doesn't have a foundation, it's not going to last very long. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall. It's going to break down. No matter how nice and pretty the walls look and fancy the light fixtures are and different things in the home, you need a foundation. And so the first thing that happens in a building, to build a building, is what? A foundation needs to be laid. Right. It's not very exciting. It doesn't look very, very fancy, but it's vital. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. If God framed his world in the world through the word, and we're to be imitators. What I'm trying to tell you is going into 2019, we can frame our worlds. Amen. We can. Because he said, if we can believe it, it will be possible. What's that mean? What wasn't there, if we can have faith, can now be framed up and be in existence. But first you got to pour the foundation. Well, what's the foundation? We'll go to Matthew 7. Let's find the foundation. Matthew 7 and verse, oh, let's go to 24. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. It's kind of like what I talked about in the offering. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. And does them. He says, I'll liken them unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not. It was founded on the rock. But what's the rock he's talking about? The rock of the word of God. The Word of God is the foundation. The Word of God is the solid rock with which we build upon. Amen? Amen? But how many of you know this? For those of you that have never, you know, seen a building project, I'm sure you have, but if you remember when the church was being expanded from our old sanctuary in this new section of the building, you'll remember the first thing they did was pour a foundation down for the building process. And I came here one day and I was like, wow, the grass is gone and the parking lot part is gone. And it's a big cement pad, right? Big cement pad there. And it looked all nice and flat and it looked cool. But how many of you know you can't live or conduct services just on that flat foundation? Now you could, but the elements, the weather, and it wouldn't be very comfortable and be no rooms for the kids, no rooms for the nursery. You can't just have the foundation, can you? You have to start framing rooms. So then I would come back a little bit later, or someone would send me a picture, and I'd see, wow, there's where that that cement pad was, now there's boards that are going up. And they're like in a square, and an opening for a door, and a bathroom was framed up. And the nursery was framed up. And the sanctuary, and the hallway, and my office, they were framed up. What happened? They got framed, start to be able to function in them. Start to be able to live in them. Amen? Amen? Now here's what I want you to see. And this we'll get going here. If the Word is our foundation, the Word is limitless in comparison to what you need. What I mean by that is every single thing you need is found in God's Word. Amen. Everything. Right. He can't leave anything out. Not one situation, not one circumstance, the answer cannot be found in here. And if it's not specifically found in here, he'll speak it into your spirit. But the principle will be found in here to back up what he's saying. Amen? What do you mean by that? Well, God said he'll meet all your needs, but you're believing for a specific house, and you don't know which specific house or which specific car or which specific spouse, all these things. And God says you can have those things, but the Holy Ghost will hone in on the specifics of, yeah, that's green light. Oh, that's a yellow. No, that's a red light. Amen? And so The Word is limitless. It's full of possibilities. So what am I saying? We can pour a huge foundation for our life. And every single thing can be there. Every single thing can be possible for you to walk into. But until you start framing different rooms for different areas of your life, you'll never move into those things and enjoy those things. It doesn't matter that there's a foundation. We needed more than just a foundation. Thank God for the foundation, but we needed to frame some things up and build some things. It doesn't matter that God's Word says you can be healed. It doesn't matter that God's Word says you can be blessed and free from all these torments of the world. Until you start framing rooms on that foundation, you won't walk into them. Amen. So what I want to say to you is, we could have had this big cement pad. And we could have just said, let's just frame up an office. That would have been possible. And you could have just framed up an office, yet there would have been all this potential. Going forward in 2019, let me ask you a question. I told you what the pad is, what the foundation is. It's limitless. You can, it will never run out of space to build for your life. All the promises of God are yes and amen. By the way, this is part two of last week. What do you want your life to look like going forward? The Word is your foundation. It's there. Just like we poured a big foundation here, and now the builder said, okay, Pastor Mike, we have the huge foundation. What would you like us to put on top of it? And guess what? What I told them to do, they did it. I'd like two bathrooms over there. I'd like an office there. I'd like a foyer this size. I'd like a nursery over there. And I'd like the sanctuary this big. Okay, that's what you want. We're going to frame that up. And guess what? That's what we got. Amen. What do you want your life to look like going forward? What are you going to frame going forward? When God needed to frame things and build things up, He did something about it.
Yeah. Good. Amen.
Amen. All things are possible to him that believes. The framing is not his job. Now he'll do the heavy lifting, but we give the orders. The construction company did the heavy lifting for me, but they only did what Pastor Mike said to do. That's not me being arrogant. I'm just telling you, the same way if you build your own house, you tell the building people do whatever they want to do, or to do what you want to do, or your business. Same thing. Your life. God does the heavy lifting, but guess what? He's only beckoning to what you want to frame. Why? What does the Word say? Whatsoever you bind, he'll back. Whatsoever you loose, he'll back. He's waiting for you. If you can believe it, all things are possible. So I want to ask you, what do you want your life to look like going forward? What do you want to frame up on this foundation? Do you want to just frame up I just want to frame up enough to just, I mean, I'd just be happy just my needs were met and that's it. Why? When there's a room over here available for your kids to be blessed. There's a room over here for your body to be healed. There's room on the foundation for promotions and increase and for the job of your life. And there's room over here for the spouse of your dreams. All these things. Why would you want? Build it big.
Amen.
You know what we did? We took advantage of every square inch on this property.
Amen.
To be able to enjoy. All the promises are yes and amen. It's such an expansive foundation. Let's build all the rooms and live in it. It would be silly to have a foundation at your house and just build one little living room and say, well, we're just going to live in here. And builders say, but you have, the loan came through, and you have the money to do this and the money to do that. Why, you want to just have a room and then the rest of it just be a cement pad? It's foolish, but that's what Christians do all the time. So go with me to Romans 10 and verse 10. I'm going to show you what the order is of how to do this, how to frame. Simple. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Romans 10 and verse 10. With the heart, man believes. Well, what did Jesus say? If you can believe it. You've got to believe it first. Without belief, it don't happen. Isn't that how you got saved? You had to believe in Jesus first. It didn't come automatically. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But it doesn't stop there. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, what is salvation? That's the promise. That's the changing. That's where your world changes, where Jesus comes on the inside of you, forgives you, makes you brand new on the inside. You become heaven bound. Well, that didn't happen through just believing. Believing opened the door, but then the speaking brought the promise to reality. Well, it's the same with God. He believed it, but then to make it happen, how did he frame it? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. With the heart, you believe, but with the mouth, confession, as Brother Hagin would say it this way, confession is made unto the possession of the promise. Amen. You want to know what the order is to frame in your life? Believe, speak. Believe, speak. That's the order. Amen. Going forward in 2019, what you frame is going to depend on what you're believing and what you're speaking. Same way God did it. That's the order. You got to first believe, then you confess and receive. First believe, then confess and receive. Same with salvation. How do you get healing? First believe, then confess. How do you get prosperity? You believe it first, then you confess for it. So let me just say this going forward here. Drop down to verse 17. So here's the two steps in detail for your life. This will change your life right now. Number one, pour the foundation. What's the foundation? The Word of God. So then faith cometh, or belief cometh, by hearing and hearing God's Word. You know what your first job is to do when you say, okay, I got a blank canvas for 2019. I got a foundation ready to build upon. First thing you do is you find the Word of God on what you're believing for. Say, I need health. I need change in my marriage. I need change in my family. I need change in my money. I need change in my body. Find out what He said about it. What is that doing? Pouring the foundation for it to happen. Putting the belief in you. Why? Because with the heart, man believes. And then when they believe, they speak it. You don't just speak it. It's not some pie in the sky, some, you know, magic fairy dust that you just say it and it comes to pass. No. When you believe what you're saying, there's power in it. Amen. Amen. So the first thing you need to do is find out in the Word, okay, I need finances. What's the Bible say about it? Hear that Word. Hear that Word. You know, 8 years ago when we started the church, we started in September, but we started the work on it in June over there and getting things painted and stuff and ready in the storefront across the parking lot. I quit my job because the Lord told me to do it. Quit my job with my wife being pregnant. And when we were already not being able to pay our bills, and when I quit my job, it put us every month $2,000 short from paying our bills. So I said, I'm going to go get a third shift job because we need to make money. And the Spirit of God said, don't do it. If you do, the church will suffer. Believe me for the money. That's what He said to me. So I stayed home with Caleb and was a stay-at-home dad, and that was interesting. You know, for 2 years I did that. Didn't know anything about kids or babies or diapers or nothing. But that's what God said to do. And she was the one making the good money, had the job and the education. And so she stayed working. And I left the job, left my job, quit my job, and came home and stayed with him. Because that's what God led us to do. Now, do I have anything against daycare, babysitter? No, I don't. But I just, what I do is encourage people to follow the Spirit. Yeah. That's what He said for us. Stay home with him. So I did. So I stayed home with him. And when she'd get home from work, I'd do stuff for the church. So in essence, I had two full-time jobs. And but when I did that, there's no income coming in. Because when you start a church, there's no income coming in. Right. You first pay the bills before you pay yourself. And I was $2,000 short. And I tried to get a third shift job. And I was warned, don't you do it. And so I knew. So my pastor told me. I remember sitting in the car after my pastor told me, I'm not giving you a salary. He said, you're going to learn. You know, he was just telling Pastor Scott this the other day. Pastor Scott relayed this to me, and I appreciate him doing it. He said, you know why Pastor Mike can preach with a bite? Because he's lived it, and he's done it, and he's seen it work, and I have. He said, when he came to me and asked me for a salary, I told him no. He said, and I knew what situation it put him in. I told him. I whined and cried and complained to him. I'm $2,000 short. At the time, it was $1,200 bills coming in, but then when you included groceries and miscellaneous things for the baby, for Caleb, you know, and just gas and things like that, it averaged $2,000 a month for about 2 years. Well, I don't know about you, but have you ever been $2,000 short every single month? You don't have the money? For two straight years, I was. And I saw God come through every single time. But it started with my pastor telling me, you're going to sink or swim based on what you believe. It's up to you. And he threw me in the water, you know. I've heard of parents doing that to little kids, you know. Go swim. Better not sink. That's what he did to me. Dad threw me in. And I had to learn faith like I never learned it before. You know what I did? The first thing I did is I found out what God said about money in the Bible. And I got sermons from Pastor Nancy and my pastor and Brother Hagin. And I listened to the word on finances. And I had the word playing in the background on finances. And I meditate on that word. I did Romans 10:17. I heard and I heard and I heard and I heard and I heard till I was so convinced it didn't matter if I'd have been $20,000 short a month. I knew my God was bigger than my circumstance. But the only reason that faith came was because I did Romans 10:17. I heard and heard and heard. Yeah, my car became my Bible school. My house became a Bible school with the word playing in the background. I got one set of CDs back then, you know, CDs and just CDs that have it on the iPhone or whatever. And it was just verses on prosperity. And I believe it was either Dr. Larry Hunton or Pastor Jay Eberly from Iowa. You know, they both have different ones, and I have all of them, and I forget who had which with rest and sleep and peace and finances and health and all those. But I was listening to one that was just telling me the word on finances. And I was pumping my spirit full of things on finances. And the doubt and unbelief and the scaredness of having a new baby coming and being $2,000 short started to get pushed out. And belief started to rise up on the inside of me. Faith started to rise up. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. So the first thing I did was, I took care of the first part of the order, which is for with the heart man believes, then they speak and the confession is made unto. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, what do you want to frame on the foundation that is limitless? Tired of being broke? Do something about it. Tired of being sick? Do something about it. It's a new year, a blank canvas, a foundation that's saying, build on me, move into these rooms and enjoy it. What do you want? What do you want to change? Well, get in the Word and do what Pastor Mike did. And pump yourself so full of it. Because a lot of you say, I can't believe for the money. I can't believe for the healing. The doctors have said this. My checkbook says this. You just don't have the faith. Well, I can take care of the faith problem by doing Romans 10:17. It'll take care of your problem. You hear the Word enough, something supernatural happens on the inside of you. You go from a doubter to a believer. And I'm serious. I was so full of faith after a few weeks and a few months. Thought, it doesn't matter. In fact, we'd pay off the bills 1 month and then the calendar would flip and we'd be $2,000 short going into the next month. And it was exciting. Am I telling the truth? I said, bring it on. I can't wait to see what God's going to do this month. It turned into, it was almost fun not having a salary. But then I found out it's kind of fun having one too. I like getting a paycheck. You know, the paycheck I used to get had a lot of zeros in it, but that's the only number I had was zeros. And it's good to have a lot of zeros in your paycheck if you have another number with it. But I didn't. But it literally got so fun to expect what God's going to do. Okay, new month, $2,000 short again. The bills are going to come in. The gas is going to need to be paid. Food's going to need to be bought. Miscellaneous things for the baby. Here we are again. Let's do this thing. And God did it every time for 2 years. And in that 2 years' time, I didn't just get by and eke by. We got so full of faith and believed God that we paid off $60,000 worth of debt on one salary that was leaving us $2,000 short a month. You say, how is that possible? God, on his calculator, has a button called supernatural. You don't have that on your calculator, but he has it on his. And when you do things his way, ooh, it'll blow your mind. Praise God. And that's what happened. But the first thing I did was I got that in my heart. Now go with me to Mark 11:22, and we'll fix the close here. I didn't announce. What are we eating today? Donuts. Okay. All right. All right. We're almost there, kids. We're almost there. I'm telling all the kids, we're almost to the donut part. Mark 11:22. So what is it? The order is with the heart, man believes. Well, how do you believe? You get the word in you. till you know that you know. No matter what the doctor says, doesn't matter what the checkbook says, you know that you know, because the checkbook said some things, but it didn't matter. I knew in my heart, it's going to be all right. The heart man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto the promise. Mark 11:22 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Well, the more literal rendering of that translation, if you look in the Greek, because the New Testament was not written in English, it was written in Greek. Actually, in my Bible, in the margin, it actually has the Greek in there. It's the literal rendering of that verse should be, have the faith of God. And we know by context, Jesus, the verses before, demonstrated how God does things. And the disciples said, whoa, look what happened when you did that. And Jesus said, don't worry, guys, this wasn't just for me to put on a show today. This is to tell you, you can do the same thing. Why? Have the faith like God has. Do things like God does. Well, remember, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and it changed. And they said, whoa, look at that. You said something to the fig tree and it changed. Jesus said, have the faith of God, whosoever. Now I'm going to tell you, you can do it. That's what he says in verse 23. Jesus answered, said to them, have the faith of God. Because the verses before, they said, this blows our mind. And Jesus said, don't let it blow your mind. Do it. Use it. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you. Now I know what you're thinking. Oh, that was for them. They were there. But he goes on to include you. He say, did you know that you're included in this verse? Jesus included you in this verse. Say, Pastor, you lost your mind. What are you talking about? For verily I say unto you, not just you that are there at the time he says it, but then he goes on to give it a more broad selection of people. He says that whosoever. Amen. Did you know you're a whosoever? Amen. You're part of Whoville. You are. You're a whosoever. You didn't know that, but you are. Whosoever would say unto the mountain. What's a mountain? Something big, bad, rugged, and hard that's in your way. That you can't see past. That you can't get to the other side of. He says, you want to know how to take care of the mountains? I'll tell you how to take care of the mountains. Whosoever will say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, that's the belief part, in his heart, but shall believe. Or have faith in those things which he says. That's why it's not just empty words of just saying things and sprinkling magic fairy dust with our words. No, they have to be words we believe we're saying. Well, how do we get belief words? By doing the first thing. Filling up on the word. And then I go from saying $2,000 short, no problem at all. Father, I thank you. Every bill will be paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for supernatural debt cancellation. And when I said it, it wasn't just me hoping for it. I knew it was coming to pass. Why? Because they were belief words. Well, how'd you get belief words? Took the time. Put the word in me. He says, whosoever will say unto the mountain, be thou removed and thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have what he says. Well, that's what he said in Romans 10:10. With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made to the promise. How are you going to get healing? You're going to believe it first, then you're going to confess for it, and you're going to receive it. How are you going to get prosperity? Same way I did. You're going to find a promise in the Word. You're going to fill up on that promise of the Word. You're going to get belief on the inside of you. So when you open your mouth to reel that thing in, it's going to be power behind that thing. Amen. It's true. If you're not saying anything, you know what that tells me? You don't want anything. Didn't Jesus say, you only have what you say? Well, I want a new job. What are you saying? Well, I want this to work out. Well, what are you saying about that thing? Well, I want my body and the doctor's report to this and that. What are you saying about that thing? Because Jesus didn't say you'll have what you need. He didn't say you'll have what you're wishing for. He didn't say you'll have what you're hoping for. He didn't say you'll have what you're desperate for. He said you'll have what you say. How were the worlds framed? By the word of God. He believed it and spoke it and said, I want a moon. I want a sun. I want an ocean. I want the fields. I want people. I want animals. And he spoke it into existence. Well, how are you going to frame for your world? Same thing. You're going to believe it and speak it. Now frame your world. Amen? Amen? If you're not saying anything, you don't want it. I told you the order now. You get it in every single day. Every single day. Now, they're on my iPad. But I don't take my iPad walking with me. I've said it so many times, these things are in my heart. On my walk every single day, that's my cue. Speak what I'm believing. Every day I'm speaking things over this church. Every day I'm speaking things over my family. Every day I'm speaking things over my finances. Every day I'm speaking things over my kids, over my money, over my body, over my mind. Every day. And you know how often I'm checking things off the list? Oh, that came to pass. Erase that off the list. Don't need to say that anymore. It's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll close with this verse, and it'll take us to that sheet of paper. Go to Habakkuk. You know, the place where your pages are all stuck together. Habakkuk. Where are you, Habakkuk? I know one way to find you. I'm going to go to the front. Your pastor is going to the front, and I don't mind to let you know. Plus, this will help you to let you know it's on page 925. Now, if you don't have the same Bible as me, that's your problem. But those that do, it's on page 925. So you know it's back there anyways. Look what it says in Habakkuk. So now we see here in the seats there, I printed something out. Not very fancy because I'm not very fancy. Pull out that sheet of paper that you have there. And the heading says building plans. Because you know what? They didn't just start building without first making plans to build and write them down. And it says building plans / what's the project? The project is my life. Amen. With a date. Today, we're going to start. Is architecturing even a word? We're going to start architecturing our life going forward. You say, Pastor, this is foolish, this is silly. Well, look at what it says in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. There's something about writing things down that make it real. And that's why I would write down my confession list. Why? Because if I don't say it, I don't have it. So I would type them in my iPad so I have them written down. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, verse 3, but at the end it shall speak and then not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. He said, if you'll open your mouth and speak believing words, it will come to pass. It might be hindered and it might take a little time, but if you'll do what the word says, he is faithful to come through and it will come to pass. So today going forward, we don't even have to do it in this service, but it would be nice if everybody at least write one thing. You ought to be believing for something in your life. Amen. Say, I like my life. Well, then believe for the church. Amen. I don't want anything in my life to change. Well, then believe for the church. Believe for somebody else. Good. But I'm going to get a pen. Do you have a pen I can use? And I'm going to write something down on here. I'm going to start my building plans. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a scripture for what I want my room to look framed. Maybe it's a new car you need. Maybe it's a house you need. Maybe it's your marriage to change, the things with your children, maybe it's finances, maybe it's in your body, a certain thing in your body. Write that thing down that you're building to change, healing for that. You would write healing for that or prosperity for that. And then you go find a verse. And if you say, I don't know any verses on it, you have my number. I'll give you 5 of them on it. And then what you're going to do is you're going to get in the Word and you're going to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it till you're convinced. And then every day you're going to look at this and you're going to speak believing words. And Mark 11:23 is going to happen. And mountains are going to start to crumble in people's lives. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Give me a second here. I'll give you a second. You don't have to fill out the list. I have more than 7. You know, say, well, that's 7 rooms in that house. You have 77 rooms in that house. Why? It's limitless. If you can believe it. Thank you, Lord. There it is. Boom. I'll let you know when it happens, too. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find scripture on this. And I'm going to get it in my heart. And I'm going to start saying every day, that's coming to pass. That's coming to pass. That's coming to pass. Amen? And you know what? Different things are going to be framed up in my life. And 2019 is going to look different for me. Well, how do you want your life to look? You frame it up. Amen? Well, were you blessed this morning? Hi, let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word this morning. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you so much for the help that you've given us, Lord, with you last week and this week, Lord. Maybe, Father, two of the most important messages I've ever preached before to change people's lives. What's available through Jesus and through faith is so unbelievable to our natural minds, so wonderful how good it can be. Now, I ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Nobody looking around. You know, we talk about all these things of prosperity and healing and peace of mind, and those are good things, and thank God for them, but Jesus is number one. I don't know what everybody's been taught in here growing up. I don't know what influences you've had concerning church and concerning your past, but I'm here to tell you this, that to get to God, to be forgiven, to go to heaven, it's free and it's simple. You don't have to come back here to this church. You don't have to become a member. You don't have to jump through religious hoops. The Bible says if you'll believe, become His child. That's how merciful He is. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody today, I promise you. I'll never have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I'm ready for change. I'm ready for something different. I want to go to heaven someday. I want to go to heaven someday. I've never received Jesus because Jesus said, I'm the way to heaven. You got to go through Him. He's the ticket. He's the bridge. He's the way in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you can say, Pastor Mike, that sounds wonderful. I didn't know it was so simple. I didn't know it was so free and easy. I didn't know that my past didn't matter. I didn't know that the way I'm living now didn't matter. I didn't know that. I thought you had to be perfect before. No, no, no. God loves you where you are. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If there's anybody in this service today, you want to receive Jesus for the first time and believe in Him and know that you're going to heaven. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Him today? Anybody at all? Don't let fear. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody want to receive Him for the very first time this morning? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody want to receive Jesus this morning that never has done it before? Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I promise I won't embarrass anybody. But I know sometimes people are shy and, you know, kind of embarrassed at times, but you don't need to be. Anybody else, before we close, want to raise their hand and receive Jesus this morning that's never done it before? Anybody, before I close? Father, I don't see any hands. And Lord, it's not the raising of the hand that gets us born again. It's the believing in Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you raised your hand, or you didn't want to raise your hand because you didn't want to be embarrassed or you're too shy, that's okay. The main thing is that you just believe in Him. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to receive the Lord now. If you want to receive Jesus, whether you raised your hand or didn't raise your hand, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask that if you want to receive Him this morning, along with everybody else that's already received Him, to repeat this prayer after me. It's going to be a whole church talking, not just individual people. But mean it with all your heart, because the Bible says, with the heart man believes. That means you first got to believe in Him. You might not know everything about Jesus, but you could say, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus. I believe He was real. I don't understand it all, but I believe He was real. That's the first part, but then the Bible says confession is made unto salvation. You got to say it. That's how we get it. And so heads bowed, eyes closed, those that raised their hands, those that should have, and those along with everybody else that are in here that have already received Jesus, go ahead and say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. I do encourage you from this point forward, you know, plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church. Hear the Word of God. But at this time now, we're going to go ahead and take up communion. And brothers, you can come forward and start serving the people. And I'm going to explain a little bit about communion here in a second. And then, of course, kids, I haven't forgot about you. Thank you, thank you. We'll do the children's church stuff as soon as we dismiss service. And this is a time of reverence, a time of remembering what Jesus did on the cross. And I'll explain what communion is. You just take the bread and the juice and just hold it until we get ready here. I just encourage everybody to be in prayer and to be reverent with Him and just thank Him and praise Him. Be worshipful. Father, we're just so grateful for Your love and Your mercy. Lord, You've done so much for us. You're so good to us. Lord, I think about my life and I think about the changes that only came through you in your word. Father, things I never knew that I could have, things I never knew I could experience came because you died, rose again, and gave me the word of God to help my life, to help so many other people's lives. We thank you, Lord. And Jesus, we know it wasn't easy that you went on the cross. We know it was hard because the night you were taken, the Bible says that you prayed so earnestly and you were so stressed out naturally that your sweat turned into blood. And we see, Jesus, that you asked the Father if this plan that he had for you, if you could bypass that. You said, if you'd be willing, let this cup pass from me. You didn't want to go through with what you had to do. Your body didn't want to. Your mind didn't want to. It was horrible. It was terrifying. But you did it anyways because you loved us so much. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, everybody's about served here. I'm going to go ahead and read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, explaining what communion is. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and break the bread and eat it. Father, we thank you so much for the body of Jesus that was broken. By his stripes, we are healed. Lord, we thank you that what your body, we thank you for what it endured and what it went through and what it means for us. We praise you for our healing. We praise you that we can be whole because you were broken. And the Bible says in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So this juice represents the blood that was shed for us. And the Bible says that we were made clean by the blood of Jesus. And so when we drink the juice, it represents Jesus' blood cleansing us. Thank God for it. So go ahead and take the juice and drink it. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, we worship you this morning. We thank you we can be free because of what he went through. And Lord, you didn't just die for salvation, although that was the greatest, and we're thankful for that. But Lord, you died so we could have so much more on this earth. And I pray that every single person's eyes and hearts would be opened to what we shared this morning. And they would realize that there's a different tomorrow available for them. That there's a different life available to them. To walk into, to move into, and it's possible. It's available. So we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it now. Let's just give him glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. We worship you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Don't forget, no Wednesday night. You can pass your cups to the end. And then don't forget, there's goodies over in the fellowship hall. And all the children's church kids, if you'd come up over here and line up in a nice single file line, that would be a blessing. You are dismissed. Stand right here.